Hello, and welcome to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. I'm your host, Nancy Newcomer, and I'm broadcasting from Santa Barbara, California, in my luxurious studios, in my lovely basement. It's beautiful down here. No, I've got a very cool corner carved out, so I'm very happy about that. Our show today is brought to you by our friends at Go Cleanse, and I'll be talking about them a little bit later on. Just love those guys. Hey, it's been fun times this week. My dear friend and old roommate from my early radio days came up for three days here, and we just had the greatest weekend, just a girls' weekend. We did just fun stuff. Went to the farmer's market, went out to my favorite coffee place. We walked the dog down at the beach, went to the pool, shopped, and just hung out and lots of talk. In fact, I think that, the first two nights we didn't go to bed till 2 a.m. and then last night we had some discipline and went to bed. I think we went to bed at 11:30. So we stopped talking. So if I'm a little ragged, you'll know why. I've been talking nonstop. You know, it's really wonderful to have somebody that really knows you well and you can just be yourself. So we did a lot of laughing too. So that's good. I hope you've had a good week. I want to get to that tweet of the week pretty quick here because we have a very interesting guest who I'd like to spend a lot of time with. His name is Rob Greenfield. Now, you may have seen Rob on CNN or ABC, the BBC. He's written on the Huffington Post, and he's been in USA Today. Rob Greenfield is an environmental activist. He's an eco-adventurer. He's traveled across the country on his bike with no money and been eating out of dumpsters. Yep. He's also gone a year without taking a shower. So we're going to talk to him about that. And he's really promoting how all of us can live a sustainable lifestyle. So he's quite a character, and he's an adventurer. That is for sure. And I know that he is working with the Discovery Channel because they find him very interesting too. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that as well. So we'll be talking to Rob Greenfield in just a little while. And now for our tweet of the week. Our tweet of the week comes from Karen from Phoenix, Arizona, and she asks, is it really necessary to buy organic? I don't like to spend the extra money. What do you think? Well, I gotta tell you, Karen, I am a believer in organically grown fruits and vegetables, and I certainly would like to support farmers, and I also like to support home gardening as well. Now, a recent report issued by the President's Cancer Panel recommends eating produce without pesticides to reduce your risk of getting cancer and other diseases. And of course, according to experts, this can reduce the amount of toxins you consume on a daily basis by as much as 80%. So that just shows you how many toxic chemicals are used in our foods. Now, from the report came two lists, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And a lot of you already are familiar with this, but those of you who aren't, it's pretty interesting. They were put together to help consumers make more informed choices, and the lists were compiled using data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture on the amount of pesticide residue found in non-organic fruits and vegetables after they had been washed, okay, after, okay. The produce on the Dirty Dozen list, when conventionally grown, tested positive for at least 47 different chemicals, which is kind of crazy. For fruits and veggies on the Dirty list, you should definitely go organic. So here's the Dirty Dozen list. These are vegetables and fruits that you really should buy organic. Celery, peaches, strawberries, apples, domestic blueberries, nectarines, sweet bell peppers, spinach, kale, collard greens, cherries, potatoes, imported grapes, and lettuce. Okay, so those are all on the Dirty Dozen. So that means those fruits and vegetables showed up with more of the chemicals after they've been washed. Now, all the produce on the Clean 15 bore little or no traces of pesticide after the USDA washed the produce, which that's sort of interesting. Now, I'm not sure whether we all believe all of this stuff, but I'm passing on the information, like I said. Here's the Clean 15. Onions, avocados, sweet corn, pineapples, mango, sweet peas, asparagus, kiwi, cabbage, eggplant, cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, and sweet onions. So those are vegetables, the Clean 15, that showed up with less pesticide. Now, remember, the lists of the dirty and the clean produce were compiled after the USDA washed the produce using high power pressure water systems that we can only dream of having in our kitchens. So the way we wash vegetables isn't quite as thorough as they did. But anyway, you should definitely, when in doubt, buy no spray or organic vegetables. Grow your own too. And tip for you, when you do wash your vegetables and veggies at home, make sure that you dilute it with a little bit of red cider vinegar or white vinegar. That'll help take off some of those pesticides. If you like a printout of the list, you can take it shopping with you. Go to my website, nancynewcomer.com, and sign up for my newsletter. And that will be your automatic gift when you sign up for that. It's really nice to have that handy. And thank you for your tweet of the week, my dear. I really appreciate that. And by the way, this subject of the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 brings up this issue of toxins, pesticides, all of that stuff. You know, we are here living in our worlds and we are exposed to all kinds of things. Some things that we can control, other things we have no idea we're ingesting into our body. And that really brings me to talking about Go Cleanse. You know, I've been on the Go Cleanse program since last March. I've lost 42 pounds, kind of hanging steady there for a while. I don't know. For me, my body likes to get used to being at a certain weight. But I will say the main thing that I've really gotten from the Go Cleanse program is this detoxification. The whole program, you can do an 11-day cleanse or a 30-day cleanse, is based on cleaning out the toxins from your body, really getting your body functioning on a clean level, cleaning you out on a cellular level, and it is working. And if you have a little extra weight, it'll help you drop the weight too. And if you don't need to lose weight, it's really good to clean out the toxicity in your body. And the program can be tweaked so you don't lose weight, but you just hang steady. Now, a lot of people have been asking me now, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Well, it's the Go Cleanse program. There's an 11-day cleanse, a 30-day cleanse. I have lost 3 dress sizes, over 40 pounds here, and 38 to 40 inches. I haven't measured in a while, but it's really fun to go shopping now, I have to say. But more importantly, I have some mental clarity that I don't think I had for quite a while. I am able to really accomplish a lot. I can get very focused. I used to wake up kind of in that brain fog. I have so much more energy, feeling great. And it's funny, there's like little everyday things that pop up that remind me how far I've come and how much I've progressed. I was out getting Miss Bailey May's dog food, you know, my big bull mastiff puppy, who's 110 pounds. We get this 40-pound dog food for her, 40-pound bag, and I was lifting it up, and then it occurred to me, this is how much weight I've lost, and it was heavy, and I was thinking, wow, I was pretty much carrying that on my back all over my body for a really long time, and that was just really incredible to pick up that bag of dog food, put it in the cart, and go, huh. No wonder I feel so much better. And a lot of things that I've wanted to do but just didn't sound really good in the past, I'm out there doing it. I'm swimming again, which, you know, I've always swam, but I'm swimming faster. Also, my friend Lauren, who's also doing the cleanse, we started doing stadium steps at Santa Barbara City College down there. And I know for some of you that doesn't sound fun, and it is work, definitely. But there's such a great feeling when you can run up those stairs and you get to the top, and it's, I'll kid you not, it's still hard, but I wouldn't have been able to do that before. So getting stronger, feeling better, it's just extraordinary. So I highly recommend trying it out if you're looking to get healthier, to get more mental clarity, to cleanse all the toxins out of your body. And by the way, it is not, I'm going to just say it, it's not a pooping cleanse. It's not like you're going to be on the toilet all week. Let's get real. It's a program where you drink shakes, you eat really good meals that you prepare. I love cooking for myself and our family, and we're just eating good food here. And then you do your cleanse days too. It's definitely a doable program. It can be challenging at times, but you know what? You're detoxifying. So it's a good thing. And you drink lots of water. It's fabulous. And just so you guys know, what I'm doing now, I am doing an 11-day cleanse once a month, just to make sure that I have all the toxicity out of my body. And each time I drop a little bit more weight. I look at my calendar and I block out the 11 days I pick. And you can kind of move things around if you have you know, a wedding or a birthday or certain things coming up, you can maybe work around that stuff. And it's been a doable program. I highly suggest you be in touch with them. You can find the Go Cleanse link on my website at nancynewcomer.com. You can also find it on the Empower Radio website on my page. So Go Cleanse. You can also go directly to the link, which is gocleanse.com/Nancy Newcomer/. And like I said before, I would not have them as a sponsor unless I really believed in the product. And I do. And it's working. And I see it's happening with my friends and family that are doing it as well. So get going. Go Cleanse. Today, I'm really excited to welcome my guest, Rob Greenfield. He is an environmental activist and eco-adventurer. He is out to promote a sustainable lifestyle, and you may have seen him on the Huffington Post or Fox or CNN, ABC. He's been on BuzzFeed, all kinds of places, because he has gone a year with no money, no shoes, eating out of a dumpster, traveling across the country. It's kind of crazy what he's been doing. And we're really intrigued by what's going on with Rob Greenfield. Rob, you've got to tell us about your adventures. It's just so amazing what you're doing.
Basically, about 3.5 years ago, I decided that I wanted to live a life that was good for the earth, good for my community, and good for myself. And so I dissected every area of my life from food and water, transportation, energy, waste, consumption, and I just decided I would start doing everything in a way that's more beneficial and decrease my negative impacts, and made this big, long list of all the things I wanted to do, put it on my kitchen wall, and started to chip away at my life and add things that I wanted to and remove the things that I didn't. And part of how I've been doing that is I've created these adventures that both teach myself how to live a more earth-friendly life, and at the same time, by learning this in an adventure, I share those adventures with others so that they can learn as well. And I've been doing that for 3.5 years now, and I've come a long way, and so have a lot of the people that have been paying attention to what I've been doing.
So tell me about the very first adventure you did. What was your goal, and where did you start?
Well, I started traveling around the world a little before I had this passion. So I was traveling through Africa and Asia, Australia, New Zealand, South America. So that's really what, in the first place, really broadened my horizon. Seeing the other cultures, immersing in the other cultures, seeing the magnificent beauty of all the different biomes around the world. So that really gave me a desire to protect the beauty and the diversity. And so my first ever really kind of off-the-wall adventure was I left my house in San Diego with just the clothes on my back, my passport, and my cell phone, which I put on airplane mode. I had a $75 ticket to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I landed there with no money and had to find my way home across 1,300 miles of desert. That was to see for myself. Can I travel without money, without mooching? Because my policy was that for every dollar that I borrowed from others, or every dollar that people helped me out with, I had to return that threefold to a school to help the children in Mexico when I got back. And so that trip really was a whole new experience for me, seeing that you can in fact travel without money and leave without the goodness as you go.
It sounds so scary to me.
I was very scared. Yeah. Oh, man. I was extremely nervous. It was Thanksgiving the night before, and I was over at some people's house, and I was telling them what I was doing, and as the words were coming out of my house, I was extremely excited but very scared. But the thing is that when you're logical and rational about these things, you realize that the world is truly connected. There's internet cafes everywhere. There's people with computers everywhere. There's Western Union, where if you have one person that likes you, you can have them send you money if you're in a bind. But besides the fact that the world's so connected and there's so many resources, there's also millions, well, actually there's billions of just beautiful people on this earth that will help you and would give you the shirt off their back. And I see that time and time again. And it's really beautiful to see that. And personally, I've been pretty good for a while at giving to others. But I've had a hard time accepting when other people want to give to me. And I found that a lot of people are the same, where there's something that keeps them from taking. It's an ego thing. And once I've learned to just allow people to give freely as they want to, it's really opened up my ability to live simply and see the world. The beautiful thing is that people who give to you, they usually gain a very deep happiness from it. So you're actually able to give to them just with your presence and with being there.
I love how you've traveled the world and you're seeing a common thread among people and cultures. You know, that whole thing about us being connected. And
yeah.
You must have had some desperate moments in these travels. And maybe they're not funny, but maybe they're really scary and serious. But can you tell us like a little something that was unusual or you weren't sure? Like, why am I doing this? What's going on? Get me out of here. Have you had any of those moments?
Oh, yeah. I have challenging moments all the time, which I really appreciate, because the more challenging moments you have, the stronger, more resourceful, compassionate of a person you become. But for example, last year I did a trip off the grid across America where I cycled 4,700 miles across America, and the idea was that I could consume as little resources as I possibly could. So at the end of it, I came out using 160 gallons of water to cross America. That's 1.6 gallons of water per day. While the average American consumes about 100 gallons of water per day. So I used 50 times less water than the average American. So every day I run into those sorts of things. So one of the things was that I was only eating naturally produced food, so local, organic, unpackaged. But the exception was I could eat out of dumpsters. And I had never eaten out of a dumpster before. But the idea is the resources have already been used. It's going to waste. First time I ever did that, I was very embarrassed, very much paying attention to my surroundings, making sure nobody was seeing me, and I was extremely self-conscious. And then I realized, after going to grocery stores and opening up a lot of dumpsters on that bike ride across America, that our grocery stores in America, the dumpsters in America are just filled to the brim with perfectly good food. And so it took a little practice, but now, as the last trip that I just finished up here in New York City, from Madison, Wisconsin to New York, I ate not a single thing that didn't come out of a grocery store dumpster, and ate like a king and managed to gain weight, like 5 pounds. So now I gotta go on a little bit of a diet here and get this excess weight off.
That just happened accidentally. You decided, okay, I need to eat. I've got to get into the dumpster. And you're kind of looking over your shoulder like, is anybody looking? And then it turned into be like this whole new thing you got into. It's like a treasure trove. I want you to talk about that a little bit more, because I saw some of the photos on your website about what things you pulled out of a dumpster and some beautiful food. It's kind of incredible.
It is. So we throw away nearly half of all the food we produce in America, or about $165 billion worth. To give you an example of how much money that is, our entire food stamp program is $75 billion. So we spend well over 2 times more on food that we throw away than we do on food stamps. And I think it's something like half of America is on food assistance. So we throw away a ton of food. And the thing is, you might imagine it. Sloppy leftovers and things like that. We're talking about perfectly good fruits, vegetables, bread, dairy, meat, candy, cookies, chocolate, donuts, bagels, seafood. We're talking about everything you could possibly desire is in our grocery store dumpsters. And the thing is, it's not even old, because grocery stores are throwing away so much food that their dumpsters basically are emptied on a daily basis. The food comes straight off of the aisle, and they put it straight into the dumpster. It's not like there's a staging area where they let it sit so it gets old. They take it right off the shelf or the refrigerator, put it right in the dumpster. So we're talking about perfectly good fresh food, fresh off the shelves, and a lot of times it's being thrown away days, weeks, months before the suggested sell-by date. So much of the time, it's just immaculate food.
So, Rob, why do you think they are throwing it out instead of donating it? Did you ever ask?
Oh, yeah. The thing that's really great about food waste is we have all the answers and we have all the solutions, and we know the root issues of the problem. So that's the good news about food waste. It's very easily solvable. So the reason that food is thrown away, see a lot of the stocking issues. So, for example, in Iowa, I opened up a dumpster that was full to the brim with perfectly good watermelon. They purchased more than they sold that week. They thought they were going to sell a lot more. They had 150 extra watermelons when their new shipment came in. Well, they need to sell the new stuff. Where are they going to put the old stuff? Ends up in the dumpster. So stocking is one issue. Cosmetics. Let's say those watermelons got a scratch on the outside rind, or they're just kind of brown. Perfectly good on the inside, but aesthetically not pleasing, so they'll toss them. Sometimes in the past it suggests a sell-by date, but as we know, that's a suggestion, and the food doesn't go bad. A box of granola is not going to harm you after that date. That's why the food's thrown away. Why it's not donated often is because stores are lazy, and you know, they just don't want to take the time. Financially, it's easy enough to just throw it away because they get tax write-off. You know, they get to write it off as a loss. And then, you know, even beyond that, take CVS, for example. I believe that they have the policy, the thought in their mind, that for everything they give away, that means one less person who needs to buy. So I believe they actually don't donate because they see that as a loss in profit. But the good news is that there are thousands of grocery stores donating across America, and there's thousands of food rescue programs picking up food right from the grocery store that would have otherwise gone to waste. It's to the tune of billions of pounds of food per year, feeding millions of Americans. And they're protected by the Good Samaritan Food Act, so they don't have to worry about lawsuits. Not a single grocery store has ever been sued. The liability is not an issue. But actually, to answer your question even more, the main reason is liability, because a lot of people don't realize that they're protected. So that's one of the things I'm getting out there, is letting people know, hey, you guys are protected. And according to the University of Arkansas study in 2013, not a single store has ever been sued.
Wow. Well, when I read about you and what you were doing, I thought back a couple of years ago. I actually was working for the Santa Barbara Food Bank, Santa Barbara County Food Bank, and I did know, I don't know all the particulars, but they were getting donations from grocery stores, and I was amazed at what came from the grocery stores, just exactly what you're talking about. So they weren't throwing things in the dumpster. They were donating to the food bank, and the food banks across America really have the lifeline connectivity to all the different nonprofits locally, so they can get these items distributed to people that need to eat and need the food. So it is possible, and I'm glad to hear that through the work that you've been doing, you have been seeing some of the programs that have been working. But the awareness of what you're doing, the awareness you're bringing to people is so incredible, because a lot of this stuff could just easily solve a lot of our problems with if we just did something that was logical, you know, donate, not dump. In fact, that's one of you have a hashtag about that, don't you?
Yeah, the hashtag donate, not dump. And something that's important to remember is a lot of these 50 million food insecure Americans, and it has nothing to do with laziness. A large number of those are children and elders. And you know, elders have worked and they can't work anymore, and children are dependent upon the system that they're born into. So you can't fault them for not having enough food. So what I'm doing is simply, I launched the hashtag donate, not dump. And I'm simply creating a citizen patrol of people who are out there being proactive in their community, talking to their grocery store and saying, hey, are you guys donating your excess food, or are you guys throwing it in the dumpster? And humans with hearts run these stores, and they also, they'll listen to us if they know that we care.
Communities need to get organized and make these alliances, it sounds like.
Yeah, something that you can definitely do if you want to get involved as volunteer at your local food rescue program or your food bank, and those places can always use help. And the cool thing is that these food rescue programs, they go to the grocery store and pick it up. So all the grocery store really needs to do is, instead of throwing it in the dumpster, set it in the back, and a lot of these food rescue programs will come and pick it right up. But they're always needing help, so that's a great way to volunteer. It's a great way to get involved with the community. And the beautiful thing about that is when you're serving others, I personally have found that my greatest happiness comes from giving happiness to others. And my life has never been better since I've pretty much dedicated my time to making other people's lives better.
That's so great. I love speaking with Rob Greenfield. In fact, that's just part one of my interview with Rob Greenfield. So many interesting stories, thought-provoking, compelling, and some funny stories as well. We kept chatting a while, so I decided to split the interview into two shows. So you'll hear part two next week on The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. You can look for Rob on the Discovery Channel. It's coming up Sunday, October 19th, 9 p.m., Discovery International. So you can see it anywhere in the world. The show is called Tethered, where Rob will be tethered to another human being in the bayou. It's a story of survival, and I'm sure it will be interesting, and I can't wait to see it. If you'd like to see what else Rob is up to, go to his website, robgreenfield.tv, and follow him on Twitter at Rob J. Greenfield. You'll see all those pictures of the food he's collected from dumpsters and so much more. Thanks for listening to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. Share with your friends. Thanks to Go Cleanse, and we'll see you next week. Bye now. Have a great week.